We're going to show you how to save space on iOS.
I'm going to show you how to use your iPhone to explore nature around you.
Oh, before I round things out with a way to share tweets and notes.
You know what?
Way.
You know what? You know what? It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remotely. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by LastPass. Give your IT department a break and supply them with the tools they need to really protect your business. Visit LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you. It's time for iOS Today.
Oh,
hey, you
right,
know what?
I forgot.
Hey, you know what?
What's that?
Don't you hate it when people do that? You know what? It's usually kids. You know what?
You know what?
Today, we're going to talk about something that irks everybody who has an iPhone or an iPad.
Yes.
Space wasting.
Wasting space. What do? I can't download any new apps on my phone. I can't take new photos of my chicken, my pet chicken. I can't record video of the deer in my backyard because I've run out of storage space.
What do I do?
Well, we've got some ideas for you. And I wonder if we shouldn't start... I took them in at the end, but I think we should probably start here. Before we start talking about third-party apps,
yeah.
Let's talk about the
other
options.
Let's talk about other.
Available. Let's talk about other.
Other is the worst thing ever.
What is other?
Haven't you seen other?
I've seen other.
We've seen other, but let's show others what other looks like.
When you look at...
Now, there's a graphical version of other that I don't know when you see that, but when you look at how much space is used, it will show you a bar somewhere. Maybe this is old school. And there's, you know, green for apps and blue for music. And then there's this big yellow thing that's the whole bar practically that's other.
So we're going to launch the settings app. We're going to go into general. We're going to choose iPhone storage.
iPhone storage. There's the secret.
And then we see this area.
You don't have a lot of other.
I don't.
You're good.
Have a lot of other.
You're in good shape.
I'm in good shape. But also, Apple, I think, has known.
Other's less of a problem than it used to be. Yeah.
But while we're here, this is something that I want to talk about because this is something that anyone can go into and make adjustments to. So when you go into this area, you're going to see a section called recommendations. And in that section, you may see more than what I see here. There are options for what's called offloading an app. I'll explain that in a second. Deleting apps and for reviewing large attachments. So I, for example, have huge attachments in my messages that I could go through if I tapped on review large attachments. I'm not going to because it would show some private information of people who've texted me with photos, videos, and other attachments.
I'll show but mine because I got no privacy at all.
Go ahead.
My other on my iPad is just a bunch of pictures mostly. But see, here's the thing. I'm still calculating category sizes.
You still got work to do there.
Others sometimes can be like this much of the bar, you know? And the only sure way to get rid of other is to start over, back it up, erase it, and restore it, and then other will be disappeared. But you're actually giving us the tip that really is the secret. What other is cached data from things like messages. If you don't regularly delete your messages, you keep years and years of messages, all the photos attached to those messages are also kept. And that's what usually what other is. So a little hygiene around this recommendations thing can really keep other from getting out of control.
It goes a long way. Yeah, we'll talk about the different categories that Apple will show you in that storage section. There's apps, of course, that's both installed apps on their own, which can be large or could be small, but also their content. So that means the stuff that you've downloaded to the device within the app. And that includes Safari as well, Safari downloads. There's photos, which of course are your photos and videos. There's media, which is music, it's videos, it's podcasts, it's ringtones, it's artwork, and it's voice memos. So that's a lot within that media app, media section. So you might have a huge media section. There's mail, which is email and attachments, Apple Books, messages in the attachments, iCloud Drive. If you have and use iCloud Drive, you've got a lot of content in there. And that content in iCloud Drive will not be automatically deleted. That's something you have to go in and do yourself. And then there's other. This is what Apple describes as the other section. Non-removable mobile assets like Siri voices,
fonts, get rid of those.
Dictionaries.
Gotta have that.
Exactly. Non-removable logs and caches. Those ones you can't remove on your own, but could be removed by a restore. That's why we talk about restore.
Yeah.
Spotlight index. This is the way that you can search within apps and things like that. And system data, such as Keychain and CloudKit database. Cached files can't be deleted by the system. So that's how your other can start to grow and grow and grow and grow, because the system can't automatically delete those things.
And if you've got that situation, that's when you back up. You erase the system, on your phone or your iPad, and you restore, and all of that will be shrunk, because those really are just temp files. They really should give you a way to delete those, that cache
stuff. It should, and that's unfortunate.
I think they do better now. I'm looking at my system here, and I actually don't have a lot of other.
Look at that. That's
yeah, small. That's pretty clean. So I think they've solved it. But I do see that I have 1.79 gigabytes. Of photos, videos, and attachments taking up storage in messages. So that, to me, is the number one culprit that you can do something about without erasing your whole system. You can use these recommendations and just clear them out. You know, some of these go back to 2018, 2017. They're really old, you know? So
let me go through a few tips here. So again, you know, the recommendations is great, but what you can do is you can tap into each of these sections down here where we've got these different apps. So I could tap into music and I can see the app size is only 12.6 megabytes, but how much media have I downloaded? 12.99 gigabytes worth of songs. I could offload those if I wanted to, because most of us are working from home. If you don't have a huge cellular plan, but you are connected to Wi-Fi most of the time, you could just stream that music instead of having it downloaded. So I can choose to go into each of these and remove the actual music that's stored locally on my device if I wanted to. I've got plenty of space, so I'm not going to do that. But you can tap into each of these categories. I want to show, too, on my iPad here, you can see that I've got 1.4, there are more recommendations here. These are some of the other recommendations you might see. So right now, my iPad on it has 18.18 gigabytes worth of of TV downloads that I have. So it's from, you know, buying a show or something like that and then downloading the movie or the TV show. That's to from
the old days when you got in an airplane and you wanted to watch some stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I could go in and tap on that and remove those if I wanted to. Same thing with videos that have been downloaded. I could remove those. And so there are all these ways to save space right within that storage. And so I want to mention that again. We launch the settings app. We choose general. Then we choose iPhone storage. Or on the case of the iPad, you choose iPad storage. But there are some other ways to make adjustments to that too. And Leo's going to tell you about iCloud Photo Library in a second. But one of the ways that we can make an adjustment is to go into, let me make sure it doesn't show my number. It doesn't. Okay, so you launch settings, you go into messages, and then underneath the section called message history, you can see that I have it currently set to keep messages forever. I'm the type of person who, if, you know, years down the line, there's some conversation that I had years ago that I want to remember, oh, someone was talking about this thing and they gave me a link and I want to be able to look it up. I can. That's the way to do it. But if you're not a digital pack rat like I am and you're okay with your messages going away, choose keep messages in the message history section, and you can choose to keep messages for a year or keep messages for 30 days. A lot of my family members who have smaller storage sized iPhones, they just do the 30 day type of message saving. I have mine set to forever. And that is why I have that suggested within the storage section saying there are these huge attachments that are being saved to your phone or your iPad, because I've got messages saved from all of time as long as I've had an iMessage account.
And you could do what I just did, which is delete the attachments and still keep the messages. Maybe you don't care about the images so much. So that's it's important to understand, you know, that's why other gets ballooned up. There's things in there that you can control. There's things you can't control, unfortunately. And but it seems like Apple's done a much better job with other than it used to be. The real rule that you're starting to nibble away at, and you know, people will say, but I want all that stuff. But just understand, you can't have it because you don't have enough room for it. So you might want it. I don't blame you for wanting to keep everything. Next time when you buy your iPhone or iPad, opt for a larger storage amount, because otherwise you just can't have it. You have enough room. Fortunately, Apple gives you lots of solutions. And the number one rule, you may not like it, but it's the rule, is stream all the things. You can keep almost everything in the cloud and not on your device. Now, admittedly, once you're out of internet access, you can't stream all the things. But most of the time you're on Wi-Fi, you have cellular, you do have internet access, and that's the time to stream all the things. And all the things can be those movies that you talked about or the music you talked about, but it also can be your photos. It can be, well, I'll show you real quickly before we go to iCloud Photos, because I know you want to cover that. It can even be your apps can be streamed. So, for instance, Sonic Racing is 1.73 gigabytes. Now, I can delete the app. That's one of the options in iPad storage. But I can also offload the app. And this is a very handy feature they added a few years ago, that some apps can be still exist on your phone. You'll see a little download area, I think, arrow where it's not on the phone. But if you offload it, you'll see I'm going to offload it. Now, remember, let's just before I do that, app size 1.73 gigabytes. Documents and data 1.6. What will happen is the app will go away, but it will keep the documents and data, and it will have a new icon on Sonic Racing that will indicate that the app isn't on your device. But notice it didn't delete the data. See, it has this little cloud with the download area, or I can go into my games section and I'd see it there too. And that's a sign that, in fact, I have a number. See that? It's
does it automatically.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can also set this to do it automatically. So this is short of deleting. What it does is it keeps the data around so that if, you know, you want to continue the game or go on with whatever you were doing as before, you can reinstall it either from this interface, or I can go back to the game folder and I can actually tap Sonic Racing. And it will immediately start downloading. That's another way of kind of streaming all the things, is keeping just the information about that. And you can do that in settings, right? So where do we do that? I never can remember where you do that.
Oh, boy. For offloading apps automatically?
Let's see if I can find it in search. Search is, here it is. It's in general storage. So it's the same spot.
I wonder if it's down at the bottom, maybe.
There's a setting for it. Nah, that's the problem. I think that they're talking about what I just did. Oh, by the way,
I can't remember if it pops up as a recommendation or
here at the very bottom is other and system. And let's just see, other is zero. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? So I think Apple's really improved that situation. System, not much you can do about. That's 6.75 gigabytes. That you have to have, or you don't have an operating device. But it's nice that Apple at least tells you. And you can see I have quite a few offloaded apps. You can turn that offloading on by automatically when it says, oh, I see you haven't used that in a while. Probably in the applications section.
Yeah, I can't see where to go to turn it off because it's showing. Once you're up, go to settings, general, iPhone storage, then click.
It's in App Store.
Oh, they moved it. Yeah, probably in iOS 14.
And notice, by the way, that the search did not help me. It only brought me to one spot. And that's one thing that really bugs me. Apple fixed that. Search is your last resort if you've, you know, there's, look at all the settings we have. If you can't remember, you can search. But if search doesn't turn up every place that exists, that's not much use. So I was able to find it by browsing around, which I find might do a lot. And it's at the very bottom of the App Store, offload unused apps. So that is, and you'd see I do have it turned on. If you constantly run out of room, apps are a big source of, you know, space wasting. That's a good thing to turn on. I'm actually surprised I have it turned on here. It must be turned on by default because I usually turn it off. I don't love the idea of going to an app I only use once every 6 months and having to re-download it. But again, sorry, you don't get to keep everything. If you're running out of space, that's one of the places you can go.
So I have an iPhone XS Max here that's running iOS 13 point whatever is the current version. And I just wanted to check to make sure for people who aren't running the beta where you do it.
Is it moved?
It's not that it moved. When you first go to turn it on, you have to go into settings, general, storage. Ugh. And then at the top in recommendations, it offers offload unused apps. Then from there, you go into the App Store section, iTunes and App Store, and that's where you can turn it on and off after that.
So I apologize because you and I are both using 14 now. And so we, you know, ours is going to look a little bit different. I'm glad you had an older phone with the old stuff. Yeah.
Where you can go to do that. Now,
it is a good idea, though, to go through this listing at iPad storage and just kind of take a look at all the stuff.
Because
there's probably a lot of stuff.
Apps are.
This is my podcast app, Pocket Casts. This looks like a lot, 2.46 gigabytes. It used to be 30. And I was actually on my phone, I think I was saying, what the hell is going on? Where's all my storage going? And I went there and I found out, oh, Pocket Casts is keeping everything. So your podcast application will have a setting probably in it about deleting files and how often to delete files. And it is pretty important that you, let me see if I can find where that is in Pocket Casts, that you take a look at that. I would suggest, deleting files that you don't, like just only the most recent one or something like that. You know, there's no reason to keep every podcast you've ever downloaded unless you're a collector. But again,
right.
you might want to do that, but if you're running out of space, you can't. You don't have enough space. So that's a good idea to go through that iPad storage and look at each app and see. And it sorts them by the largest one. So you can only, you look at the top 10 and see. And you might be surprised. Why is Netflix 50 gigabytes? Oh, because I saved a lot of movies. I downloaded a lot of movies. So that's an opportunity for you to kind of selectively prune what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah, I can give you some ideas, you know, going in there and making adjustments that way. Yep. To be able to say, okay, I didn't realize that this app was taking up so much space. I want to get rid of it. And, you know, earlier we talked about, you know, you want to keep all these things, but you just can't, Nemo. You just can't. Well, another way to adjust that is by going in on your Mac and using an app like iMazing or another app
That's the iPad iPhone backup app that you recommend. It's a third-party app, but I use it now thanks to you. It's worth the money because it really does a better job than Apple's own backup, I think.
Yeah, because you can choose, for one, where to back up the data. So right. I don't have enough space on my local MacBook Pro, but my network-attached storage, there's plenty of space. So I can back up to that, keep it there. But just the idea that there are ways to keep a full copy of what is on your iPad, right. What is on your iPhone kick that over there. You can get into those messages later if you want to, and then clean them off of your phone. That's nice. You know, in your current version.
Because you can always add storage on a computer, but you just can't add storage on these devices. Music's another area where you can be a little smarter. This is Apple Music, but you'll have similar features in Spotify and other things. Now, if I have a, for instance, here's a switch you may want to turn off. When I add songs to my playlists, should I add them to my library? And should I sync my library? That will say whether your library will be downloaded, although you can control that here by looking at downloads. You can see how much music has been downloaded. Mine, it's a scant 125 megabytes. You can choose to optimize storage, which is really a good idea. If you turn that on, you can actually say, well, I always want about 6,000 songs is 32 gigabytes. That's a lot of storage. Or if you have a 64 or 32 gigabyte phone, you could say none, and it will automatically delete songs based on how often you play them and so forth. I turn off automatic downloads, but if you are going to be in an area where you don't want to stream, because remember, you can stream everything from Apple Music, even the songs that you bought. But if you're going to be in an area with no internet connection, you can actually then download the music, and this optimized storage will let you control how much of your space it will occupy, and no more than, in this case, 64 gigabytes. I think that's fair. So this is in Apple's Music. There'll be similar settings in other music players. I think this is a really handy thing to do. You can really control how much data is used on Apple Music. Your library, this is a little confusing because the subscription Apple Music has, how many is it? 8 million songs, 16 million. It's a huge number of songs. Obviously, you don't want them in your library. That would be untenable. But your library isn't just, it's the subset of songs that you like, but it doesn't actually mean you own them. Your library doesn't exist after you stop subscribing to Apple Music unless you bought those songs. So there's songs that are in the Apple iTunes library, all 16 million. There's the songs that you've added to your library, and then there's the songs you've purchased. And this middle thing is add playlist songs. So if I make a playlist and say, I really like these songs, it'll add it to your library. And then you can have the library automatically synced to all of your devices, and you can even have the library automatically download. So there's a series of, there's levels of control in your music. I think streaming all the things, and at least now while we're not doing a lot of traveling, might be the best solution. I generally do that, and then right before a trip, that's when I say, okay, I'm going to use up space on my iPad for books, for movies, for songs. But I know I'm only going to do that while I'm on a trip and I don't have consistent internet access. Most of the time you got Wi-Fi or cellular, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to take it up unless I've got the space, which in the case of, you know, my iPad and iPhone right now, there's plenty of space. And depending on how you have things set up, you want to check those settings as well, because you may have, in certain streaming apps, you have it set to download the full resolution version of a video, but when streaming, only stream at 1080 or 720 or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, there are adjustments that can be made, and you want to make sure that if you are using Wi-Fi, that you get the highest definition available.
Right. Here, you mentioned iCloud Photos. This is going to be a big one for a lot of people, especially on the iPhone. We all take a whole lot of pictures, and I've talked to people in the old days who said, I need a new iPhone. I say, why? Well, I filmed mine up. this is before, and I think Apple heard this too. So this is, as much as they'd like to sell you a new iPhone just to hold your pictures, this is an important section. This is the Photos section. And this is the switch, iCloud Photos, that is really the one you want to turn on. And then right below it, optimize iPad storage. If you have iCloud Photos, which you do want, it'll back up all your photos to the cloud in full quality. Now, the downside of that is if you have a lot of photos, you'll be paying for storage from Apple. It's fairly affordable, but that's something to consider. If you're only using the free tier of iCloud storage, you probably don't want to turn on iCloud Photos. Now, turning this off, you see immediately what's going to say is photos and videos that have been optimized to save space will be removed from this iPad. You could still get the full versions, but you're effectively turning off photos on your iPad. I don't want to do that. I want to leave that on. But I do want to choose optimized storage. So if you choose download and keep originals, it will download the entire iCloud photo storage, the one up, you know, in the cloud, and you'll have the originals. I don't see any reason to do that. Even I, who I use my iPad for a lot of photo editing, if you optimize, it's going to put thumbnails that you can see. If I go to my photos app, I have all the photos I've ever taken. The thumbnails are here. But if I want to edit a photo, I just click on it and say edit, and it will then download it. And it's usually a fairly quick thing, so I'll have the full quality version that I'm editing. So that's, I think, a very nice feature, and I would recommend turning that on. There are below this some other ones that are probably worth paying attention to. Photo stream is something you might want to be careful about if you take pictures you don't want everybody to see. When you use photo stream, and mine is turned on, that means if you have the photo screensaver in your Apple TV, or you have a screensaver with photos on other Apple devices, the last 30 days of photos will show up there. That can be embarrassing. So consider turning that off if you take pictures you don't want everybody to see. I also turn off burst photos. That's a really good way to save space. Burst photos are often taken by the iPhone, especially in dark mode and in areas where the picture might be a little shaky. It will take as many as 9 pictures, and you'll be storing all of those if you turn that on. What it does instead, if you turn it off, is it only stores what it considers the best in the burst photos. I recommend that. So these are really important settings to look at. And automatically transfer photos and videos in a compatible format to the Mac or the PC, or always transfer the original file without checking for compatibility. That has to do with your syncing. I have it on automatic. I don't think that matters so much. These are the three that really matter. iCloud Photos, optimize iPad storage. I think those are the things that matter the most and will save you a lot of space.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a quick way to do it. And I remember Serenity Caldwell recommending that at least one of the devices in, and this is less now than it used to be. Apple has continued to improve upon its cloud storage, but at one time especially recommended that one of your devices, be it your Mac or whatever happens to be your largest storage device, do have a download of the originals. Yeah. So my Mac is where I keep the originals. Everything else has the optimized versions.
And I'll tell you why you want to do that. What if iCloud failed or went away or you lost your account? You'd always still have a copy somewhere. And those originals should, frankly, be on your Mac, should also be backed up. You know, I recently wanted to get a full photo collection of everything. And all along, I've been uploading everything to Google Photos. We're going to talk about that in a second. So a couple of weeks ago, I did Google Takeout, which allows you to download every photo you've ever uploaded to Google Photos. In my case, it was 264 2-gigabyte files, because it doesn't make them bigger than that. In a zip, I had to download each one individually and then process them all. And actually, some of the tips that we're going to talk about, including Gemini 2 in just a little bit, were very helpful in that. And my goal was to get kind of the perfect full set of photos on my Mac in Apple Photos, so that I could have it everywhere, to get a full set of photos in Google Photos. So if there's not something not there, I could upload it. And then finally, to get that full set of photos cleaned up, sorted properly on a backup, so that I had every photo I've taken digitally over the last almost 20 years. And that was a bit of a project. And in fact, over time on Hands on Mac, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the tools I use. There's some really good tools out there for doing that. I do really think you want to treat your photos extra carefully. And just trusting in iCloud, as reliable as iCloud is, I think you're right. I think Serenity is right. I think it's probably a good idea to have a copy for your own use on your computer.
Yeah.
What else should we do?
Yeah, let's talk about Google Photos. So Google Photos is Google's photo library, photo management system. And this was, especially in the early days, one of the ways when someone came to me and said, I want to install the software update for iOS, but I can't because when I go to download it, there's not enough storage space. What do I do? And they didn't have a Mac. They didn't have another computer they could use to sort of do that downloading, offloading process. They only had their iPhone. So I said, well, you're going to start. I said, do you have a Gmail account? Yeah, I use Gmail. All right. Well, you're going to start by downloading Google Photos. They would download Google Photos. And I'd say it's going to take about a day. Got to let it, you know, upload all of your photos to the cloud. But after you upload your photos to the cloud, then you can go into, and we'll cut over to this. You can go into the settings, so hamburger menu, and you can choose free up space. And then, I normally it would prompt you and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now that you've got all of your data stored in Google Photos up in the cloud, we're going to remove those photos from your local library. So immediately you can go from having all of these photos stored on the device, taking up a lot of space, and even the thumbnails that you know Apple generates with the optimized storage, this will take them and put them there on Google Photos. Now, for most people, it's not something that they're going to want to stick with. It's a temporary measure because they don't want to use Google Photos as their main management photo library management system. But you can then, you know, download those again if you want to. So it's a way to quickly, or semi-quickly rather, without having to spend a bunch of money, upload your photos library, keep them there, and then get them back afterward. Download it onto your device.
That, I think, is a lesson. It used to be the only way really to get space. And now that Apple offers this optimized photo storage in iCloud, I think that it's less useful. Remember, one thing that's happening with Google Photos is it's not uploading originals. It's uploading JPEGs that are squished. So the nice thing about Apple's iCloud photos is those are originals. The originals are always stored in the cloud. So if you have raw photos, high quality photos you took with a fancy camera, that kind of thing, Google's going to squish those down, make them smaller. Apple will not. But in the old days, it was the only way to get space off of your iPhone. Now that Apple has this optimized storage feature, I think it's less important. Still a good tip to know. Once it's backed up to Google Photos, you can delete it. Just remember, you're deleting it not just from the phone. You're deleting it everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm less sanguine about that technique now because I like to have – I don't want to just have them on Google. You know, it's the same issue. You really want to have – ideally, you'd have a cloud backup of originals, a local backup of originals, and then a third offline backup of originals. So you'd have three copies of the original of every photo you've taken. That's really what you want. And that's not what Google gives you.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about Gemini Photos? It seems that it's been very helpful for you.
Love Gemini. Now, I did this on the Mac, but you were the one who recommended this. It's not free. So that's kind of a disadvantage. In fact, it's a little bit pricey, but Gemini 2 is the latest version, but this is a really great way. In fact, the only way I know of to really get rid of, allow access to all photos. Yes. Thank you. This, I haven't used it on iOS 14, so it's asking permissions again. This is the only way. And this is, you know, somebody tweeted us, please tell developers, stop doing this sideways thing. And I know, you know, if you're using a keyboard, you know, it's really annoying that you can only use this in portrait mode. Hint, hint. But the truth is you're not going to live in Gemini Photos. What you're using Gemini to do is go through your photos and eliminate duplicates. And it does it in the most useful way. It's not just looking at file name or date. It's actually looking at the contents of the photos. And it does a very good job. After I downloaded my entire Google Photos takeout, as you might imagine, I now have duplicates and so forth. So the next thing I did, and I did this on the Mac for speed, is I ran Gemini 2 on it to eliminate duplicates.
Nice.
It is a little less aggressive than perhaps I'd like. So for instance, if you have edited the photo, and you have a copy of the original and the edited, it doesn't see those as duplicates. Now, for a lot of people, that's exactly what you want. You want the unedited original and you want the edited. But I didn't want all these. And in some cases, I had five or six edited versions of the photo. So I ended up having to go through using a command line utility, deleting, and the find command on Mac OS will do this, deleting anything that had like the, you know, -A -B -01 -02, all of those extras. So Gemini, and actually this is a good thing. Gemini will only delete exact duplicates. Mm-hmm. It will not delete edited versions of the file, and that's actually very handy.
And the app, so it's free to download, but it's $4.99 a month if you want to use it. The app has a section for similar as well as duplicates. So it will have those versions that are direct, absolute copies of one another. But then there's a section that's called similar. And so if you, for example, were trying to take a photo of your child or a dog or something that moves around a lot, so you take 7-8 photos and you really only want the one, it will show you all of the similar photos and then you can choose the ones that you actually want to keep. It will show you also.
It's painful because you have to do it by hand.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I had 60,000 photos and so I wasn't going to do that manually. Yeah. But that if you've done a good job all along keeping up to date, then it's not so painful because, you know, it's you're going to be just looking every week or two and seeing what's extra. It has a photo on the iOS. It has photo radar, which keeps track of this on an ongoing basis, which I really, really appreciate. It's really great.
Yeah, so that way you don't have to looks like the signal's dropping a little bit. What I like about that is that it means you won't have to keep going back into the main thing. And once you've done that original search, then it shows you just the new photos at the top.
Yeah. It's it has a fairly useful interface on iOS because you can, as you're reviewing photos, if you scroll it up, that'll keep it. You can't really see the check mark. Let me move it down. If you scroll it down, that will delete it. So it's very easy to go through photos very quickly and decide, oh, do I want to keep that? Do I not want to keep that? So that makes it a little bit easier. But I really mostly like it for the completely automated deletion of obvious copies, you know, multiple copies of the same photo. That happens if you sync photo libraries. It happens if you sync files of all kinds. And so Gemini is a very handy tool to have around. It's not unusual that you'll get duplicated files of all kinds. This particular Gemini on iOS seems to only do photos, but Gemini on the desktop will do any kind of files. So I actually bought Gemini on both platforms because they're two different things. It's very, very handy. And that was your recommendation, so I give you a lot of credit. Good pick.
Thanks. Yeah, Gemini on the desktop is amazing. I sent that at my NAS
exactly. And said,
get rid of all these duplicates. And it was helpful for that. Dropbox is any online storage option is also something to keep in mind. Dropbox, iCloud Drive, what is Microsoft's called?
OneDrive.
OneDrive.
And if you have, here's a really handy tip. If you have an Amazon Prime account, I know many of you do, Amazon Photos will store an unlimited number of original photos for you. Original, not squeezed down like Google Photos. So if you already have an Amazon Prime account, that is a very well worth it. Download the Amazon Photos app as a secondary backup. Remember, at any one of these, your account could get canceled. You know, it's happened. So it's nice to not rely on a single cloud service for backup. It's nice to have several different ones. Microsoft's OneDrive is very good. Dropbox is very good. There are places like Flickr and SmugMug where if you're a subscriber, you can store unlimited amounts of data. I think the Flickr Pro account is something like $40 a year, and then you can upload stuff there. That's very handy. I actually have it automatically uploading all of the photos I take on my iPhone and on my iPad just so that there's a copy there. They don't go public automatically, but once they're there, it's easy to decide, oh, I that's a good photo. I'm going to make that one public, that kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah. And you know, another thing to look at, I should just throw this in. There are a lot of services like Shutterfly that will also store photos for you. And their theory is, well, we'll store these photos because we figure you're going to make a placemat or a calendar or, you know, get prints made. So they're photo print services, but often they'll have unlimited free storage just because they figure, hey, if the photo's there, somebody's going to print it and make us some money.
I think that's going to cover it for ways to save space on iOS. We went from, you know, just the things that you can do locally on your device with no issue all the way up to third-party apps that you can download and ways to save space by offloading things from your device. So
stream all the things. That's
stream the, all the
bottom
things.
Line. We didn't look at mail, but that's another place where you can delete attachments or just say, look, I don't want to keep more than 30 days of mail on my iOS device at any one time. You, those are all places where you want to look at. Stream all the things. Nowadays, we are always on the internet. We're always connected, so you can really save space. Nevertheless, next time you're shopping, consider buying more storage. The good news is Apple has realized that people, you know, the days of the 16 and 32 gigabyte iPhone are gone. Apple realizes people need at least 64 gigabytes. But if you can stream all the things, if you're comfortable doing that, it's actually interesting. A 64 gigabyte iPhone is plenty. If you don't want to, you might want to get a 256. It's just, but the cost will, you know, be higher.
Yeah. And there are also file format changes that are much better at shrinking down the size of photos and videos that are coming out or have currently or currently out.
It's not good to be a pack rat in this case.
No, digital or physical.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
And come back. We've got news. We've got questions. We've got the app caps all coming up. Our show today brought to you by our friends at LastPass. You know LastPass. They're their studio sponsors. We're in the LastPass studios. They're also the password manager I've used for more than a decade. I think it's more like I started using LastPass when they first came out to keep track of all my passwords. It's the best password vault ever. Strong encryption. They never transmit the master password to LastPass. They don't have access to it. Only you have it. Your data is only decrypted on device level. And the main reason I went to LastPass is because it works on every device I have. And as you know, I do Android, iOS, Windows, Mac, Linux. It works with every browser. It's a really convenient thing to have LastPass on your devices. And if you're a business, it's more than convenience. It's a necessity. We started using LastPass Enterprise about 5 years ago here at Twit, and it's been a boon for two reasons. One, it makes it easier for employees to be secure. If security isn't easy, people won't do it, and your employees will resort to post-it notes and emails to themselves, or as one of our engineers did, websites with all of his passwords on it. You got to make it easy for them to do the right thing. And that's exactly what LastPass is all about. You also want to give your IT department a view into what's going on, especially now that employees, in many cases, are working from home. That's what LastPass will do. Your IT department, I mean, think about it. They've got a tough job. More devices, more BYOD devices, bring your own device. They've got a huge variety of applications, workforces at home. And then there's all the new cyber threats. Man, I mean, lately, have you been seeing the ransomware stuff? It's been a nightmare. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And of course, regulations in many industries require you, you know, keep things secure. You don't want to be the company that had that data breach on the front page. LastPass gives your IT department everything they need. Strong security that's easy to use for employees, easy to manage for your IT department. They can secure every entry point from shadow IT to apps to mobile and cloud services, and you get visibility and control over every access point. Single sign-on, multi-factor authentication, the best password vault in the world. All of that increases security without impacting productivity. You want to be able to understand what your users are doing. You want to be able to adapt the authentication you're using based on what they need, reducing friction while preventing threats. Really, LastPass is kind of a miracle. It's something that makes it easier, more convenient, and more secure. Usually it's one or the other. I love LastPass. 256-bit AES encryption, so you know your data is safe. Secure your business and give your IT department the tools to keep your business safe. Go to LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you keep your stuff safe. And if you're not using LastPass at home, start. That's all I can say. LastPass Premium, LastPass Families. Lisa and I use Families like crazy to share passwords. We have our own folder. And the other, and we, by the way, and this is important, LastPass is more than just passwords. I use LastPass as my secure enclave on every device to store things like driver's licenses, passports, social security numbers. Lisa needed a couple of things like that, some legal documents the other day. And it was easy. I just drag them to the shared folder. She has access to them. Really nice. Plus, no one wants to talk about it, but emergency access, that's part of LastPass families. So that if something should happen to you, your family will have access to the stuff they need to settle your estate, things like that. I just love LastPass. I wouldn't live without it. You shouldn't either. LastPass, at home or at work, visit LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help your business stay productive and secure, no matter where your employees are working. LastPass.com/twit. Time for the news.
News. It starts with a report out of Bloomberg. Mark Gurman has written about Apple's services. So we've heard a lot about services. This is Apple's push into diversifying the way that it makes money. So it's not just about iPhone, but it is also about Apple TV Plus, News Plus, Apple Music, Apple Pay, all of these different sections. App Store, of course, is one of these services. And, Apple Arcade as well. So despite all of these new additions to services, this report suggests that it's off to a slow start.
Really?
So Apple, of course, has made a lot of money from the App Store, but that's the one that's been around for a long, long, long time.
And the one that's currently kind of being challenged.
Exactly.
By the EU and some investigations in the US as well for monopolizing and overcharging.
Yes. And so that's one of the concerns there with diversifying. It looks like, according to this report, Bernstein's report, that Apple's revenue, most of it came from the App Store, and then it goes down from there. Apple TV is
TV,
near.
So I, TV Plus, they need a hit, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
what's holding that back. They've started. They did a few things that I thought were interesting. They're spending big bucks to acquire first run movies. Tom Hanks' Greyhound. They spent $70 million to become the exclusive. And I have to say, that movie is great. But is it worth subscribing to Apple TV Plus just to see that movie? Truthfully, I don't ever. I haven't had to answer that question because I've bought enough new Apple gear. So that I get a year, when you buy, you get a year from the time you buy the most recent one. You don't stack them up. But I just bought another Apple TV, so I know I'm going to have another year of Apple TV Plus for free, sort of free. I haven't had to face that question of, is it worth, what is it, $10 a month? Is it worth it?
I think it's $9.99, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that might be hurting it a little bit. They just didn't have a big hit in the first round of programs. But they're making, I presume they're going to make more. That's another problem. Once you've watched everything, you can cancel the subscription because there's nothing new in the pipeline for a while.
$4.99 a month.
Is that all it is? That's not a bad deal, actually.
It's not. It's not. And I guess I'm surprised that Apple's made any money on it so far because I thought everybody was just using their 1 year for free.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of surprising. So at the very bottom of
now,
the
list.
Now,
we should say Apple does not break these numbers out.
Correct.
These are
this
guesses.
Is a report.
Yeah, these are guesses. But according to the guess, of the what was the total revenue was more than $15 billion for services in the last quarter. Only $2.5 billion Apple TV Plus. That's a guess.
Yeah, and interestingly, according to the guess, the second most profitable item is still Apple getting paid to make Google the default search provider for Safari.
And we know that's a lot. That's at least $11 billion at last count. A year. That's a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
But that, I don't feel like that counts as services. I know that's where Apple puts it. But that's not something Apple's doing as a service to its users.
Right. It's not doing anything, in fact.
Right.
It makes a lot of money off of AppleCare, according to this report.
I should point that, again, this is Bernstein's guesses, this analyst. But I should point out, he estimates about $8.8 billion for AppleCare. That's why I don't buy AppleCare. It's a profit center. You're buying insurance, and they're making a lot of money on it. So it would imply
that a lot of people
are
using it.
The money you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Now, that's certainly true over a large user base. maybe if you only buy one or two Apple devices, it's worth it for the peace of mind. But remember, they're making a lot of money on that. It costs them less to fix your device than you're paying.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how these other categories continue to grow or shrink depending. And if this, you know, services push really ends up being what Apple wants it to be, to help not make the iPhone the one big earner for the company.
So Apple's happy with the growth, though. You have to look at, if you look at
for sure
the earnings growth of services, it's very steady. Every quarter made more money, almost $16 billion in the last quarter. I think actually more than. I think Apple's pretty happy with the overall growth of it. And remember that now what they report is not how many phones or devices are sold, but how they what they really want you to look at and what they want the stockholders to look at is revenue per customer. And that's how you up the revenue per customer. You're not only getting them to buy the phone, but then getting them to buy the services, the apps, the music after the fact. So it's a sensible strategy from Apple's point of view. And I don't think there's any cause for concern at this point, as long as the growth continues. And I see no reason why it won't.
Yeah. Up next, this is an interesting piece from 9to5Mac, and it's about Apple's Find My application. So we talked whenever iOS 14 was first announced that one of the kind of cool features that was going to be coming is that third-party developers could leverage the Find My system to add their devices to the Find My network, which means that if you bought, say, a pair of headphones from a third-party company, we'll just go with, I don't know, a company called Chihuahua headphones, and you bought these headphones
<buy those. laughs>
and you lost them somewhere. If the company worked with Apple's Find My, then I could launch the Find My app on my iPhone,
see,
my iPad, wherever.
That's really cool.
And find those headphones.
Now I understand why Tile was pissed off.
Right. And this is where things get interesting. So all of this stuff is locked up tight, the agreement that companies go in with Apple. But someone has allegedly published the information, the details of the agreement. And in it, it says Apple customers who use Find My to locate a device will be barred from using other competing services simultaneously.
What?
So what this suggests is that if you link in with Apple's Find My network, if Chihuahua Headphones gets Find My, then they can't also use Tile or one of the other applications,
so
Chipolo, to
you,
help find their device.
You, Micah Sargent, can. Chihuahua Headphones can't.
I can use Tile and I can use those other ones, but not to find those headphones.
But if, not for those headphones.
Right. If Chihuahua decides to go in with
Apple.
No,
that's wrong. That can't be.
And they can also make it available with others.
Attaches to the headphones.
Right.
So Chihuahua doesn't know you're using Tile.
Right. And that's okay. That's allowed. Yeah. On my side, I can do
they
that.
They can't build Tile into the headphones.
Correct. You cannot. Yes.
That's fine.
Yes. I think it's okay. I find it interesting that this has kind of gone into it. So it says an Apple spokesperson said the software could be useful to smaller companies that don't have the resources to build a location finding service on their own, like Chihuahua Headphones. So if you were a smaller player, then you could get in on it.
And it's good for consumers because I don't have to buy a Tile or a dozen Tiles. It's probably going to cost Chihuahua because not only do you have to license it, I bet you have to build in one of those U1 chips, the UWB chip.
Something, yeah.
It's not just going to use Bluetooth. I don't know. Maybe there isn't going to be an Apple Tags. We all thought Apple would make a Tile-like device that you could attach to things. Maybe there isn't going to be. Maybe Apple is just going to make deals with everybody who makes stuff to build in that capability. Then you don't need separate tags. I like that much better. The only problem is keys, and I guess you'd have to have a special Apple tag-enabled keychain that would then your keys would attach to, because keys don't inherently have U1 chips,
yeah,
and Bluetooth. It makes sense for Bluetooth devices, though. Remote controls that don't have Bluetooth, things like that. I wonder how that's going to work.
I want to see that. It's a 50-page PDF, and I'd love to see it so that I could understand it, because it's similar to the agreement that HomeKit-enabled devices, the manufacturers of HomeKit-enabled devices have to sign and agree to in order to market with works with Apple HomeKit.
And, of course, and Apple so you keeps all this stuff very quiet. They
yes. So it's unclear exactly. You know, I would love to read the context around it, because that's the problem with this, is that we're trusting an interpretation of the documents right. and only seeing little bits and pieces of it. But I think that the reason why this is such a little bit of a news peg is because of all of the antitrust conversations that are going on right now with Apple anyway. So to add this to it is kind of like, okay, are they being unfair? Tile has you know, brought up antitrust concerns, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, if you integrate one system, then to me it makes sense that that's the system that you would use to find the device. So I don't need it to also be a works with Tile or works with Chipolo if I've got Find My. But if you're not on iOS, then are you not able to find the device? I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work in that case. So
I think I Chihuahua headphones
yes!
should definitely have that built in.
Just I love guess. It. this was kind of a neat thing. Kyle Seth Gray on Twitter shared a little bit of, or shared a screenshot in iOS 14, and it's unclear if this is a feature that's also available in iOS 13. But what happens is if you've recently been to an airport and you have the feature turned on where Apple Maps can know when you've been to key locations, then it will send you a notification that says, hey, if you've recently traveled internationally, here are some tips that you should know about staying home, watching your health, and sort of choosing to self-isolate before you go somewhere else. So it'll pop up that notification and say, look, here's the deal. Don't forget that you should probably be self-isolating if you've been if you've traveled internationally recently.
If you've lived in the United States, you should stay home and watch your health for 14 days.
I was going to say, someone in the comments has said, you should have a notification. We see you live in Florida right now. Yeah. Our condolences. Yeah. Please stay home and watch your health. Yeah, yeah, that's I like that, but I could see how some people would consider that. What is it? Nanny state?
Yeah, it's kind of nannying. Yeah.
Nannying. Yeah.
Hey, watch out. Hey.
But I mean,
Apple judging, is, let's face it, Apple's a nanny.
Apple is a nanny.
They're your nanny.
But have you seen how people are? I think people need to be nannied a little bit.
It's a fine line.
Okay, but this is, as many people as I see who don't wear masks or don't want to wear masks or aren't even thinking about all of this, yeah. I think it's a fair one. Yeah. Now, a bit of a rumor. There's been a rumor that Apple was not going to be including a charging brick in the next box for your iPhone, in the next set of iPhones. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But sort of a trade-off that they've rumored Apple might be making is including a better charging cord to go with your iPhone. And a Twitter account who posts, you know, different leaks and product shots and things like that, has shared what may be the cord that comes in the iPhone 12.
Wait, we and are really scraping the bottom of the barrel with this.
I just think this is interesting. A braided iPhone cord from Apple.
Maybe. You know, their cords are notoriously
crap.
Yeah. Fragile was the word I was going to use. So, and I do prefer braided cords. So this is clearly a Photoshop, but, you know.
You think it's a Photoshop?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
I can't tell by the pixels.
Absolutely, it's a Photoshop.
Well, anyway, I thought it was interesting. I'd love to see a braided cord in the next iPhone.
I would too. So. I pay for braided cords. I like braided cords. I cannot lie. But Apple's not going to put anything too expensive in there. Is a braided cord more expensive? I guess it is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what materials they use.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to feedback. Up first, feedback, it's follow-up from Mike. Mike says, hey, I've been trying since I watched iOS today to create the automation to change my watch face. So listeners of the show who are, you know, regular listeners may remember that a couple weeks ago we had a question about can I change my Apple Watch face based on my location or something like that? Then we had follow-up to say, yes, you can. Here's how you do it. And they even included a little bit of a walkthrough process to show you how to do it. Now, Mike, who was the original person who asked the question, says, I tried it. I've watched the section of the show over and over again. But when I get to the part where you type in set watch face, the watch app does not show up. Only the clock app does. What am I doing wrong? Well, folks, I consulted the expert of shortcuts, Matthew Casanelli.
Yes.
The one and only.
Yes.
And he reports to me that we did a bit of a boo-boo.
Oh.
And that boo-boo is thinking that this feature
was
available. Exactly. Yeah. Don't think in the first place. Is that this feature was available on iOS 13 and not just iOS 14. This, folks, I'm afraid to say, is an iOS 14 feature
that
will soon be available to you to change the watch face. It is not currently available. So, Mike, my deepest, sincerest apologies. Oh, you cannot yet change your watch face based on locations, unless you choose to be a part of the public beta. But until September, that is not a feature that's available in iOS 13.
Apologies. So, by the way, just a little point of order. They have added iOS 14 public beta got an update over the past week. And one of the big features they added, which I was very excited about, was the ability to add a clock widget to iOS 14. So this one's really bad. This one is, the time is always 10, 10 and 30 seconds. But what's odd,
so bad.
It's odd to me because, the one on my phone actually worked, but it still showed the wrong time. Like it would be an hour and 5 minutes earlier. So clearly this is a non-functioning feature at this point. Boy, it sure be nice. But remember that we've told you before, if you're using, a public beta,
you may have.
Now, this one works. So I don't know what's going on. It sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work. I don't know what it is. I had one working, but it was showing the wrong time. These don't seem to be working at all. It's early days yet. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Jim wrote in and says, I just found a series of books by Pirate ABBA called The Wandering Inn. The author is incredibly prolific and just released another 62 hours of this story. It's a book that I want to keep reading. And I'll see if I can send a copy to Micah. So this was Jim had written in to say, we recently talked about fantasy books, and I was kind of mentioning the kinds of books that I like.
Yeah.
And I wanted to include this one because, Jim, I have listened to The Wandering Inn, and I loved it. Oh, I thought it was fantastic. It's a very unique story about this inn that can, like, travel between places, hence The Wandering Inn. And they have all of these different people who are working together. It's a long story, but Pirate ABBA just came out with the second book, and it's going to be, there's 62 hours of content for me to listen to. I love it. I'm so excited.
So, yay, Pirate ABBA.
If you like fantasy and you like sort of sprawling tales of fantasy with, you know, deep backstories and things like that, then you might want to check out The Wandering Inn, which now has two books in the series.
I have a tip for iOS 14 users, if you're using the public beta. I'm really a fan of the Siri stack or the short suggested app stack. But what I just learned, let me turn up my screen brightness a little bit so you can see this. What I just learned is, so this is the suggested app, and it kind of remembers what you used most recently, which is kind of fun. But I just learned you can add more than one. So I'm going to add another Siri suggestions widget, and it will have a different set of apps, which seems kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Well, now, right now it doesn't, but soon as I use this, I will have, this might be the new home screen feature. If you have, you know, four rows of four, so a total of 16 icons. Yeah, now they're different. See that? It's over. So this is, I guess, showing the 16 most recently used apps.
It's recently used, but it's also
based on time of day
usage. Yeah. Yeah,
so although my experience with SmartStack is it ain't all that smart. That's also supposed to be.
SmartStack kind of sucks.
Based on the time of day. It just seems to be random. But I'm going to now use this as my home screen, which is one big SmartStack that you only get three big widgets on a home screen plus two of the Siri suggestions widgets. Given that they're giving me different suggestions, this might be kind of a nice new home screen. You know, I still have the second screen with everything in it, and I could still, of course, do the search. But I think it's kind of interesting that these duplicate widgets will have different icons. And my guess is it's the top 16 instead of the top 8.
Yeah, our use is a little bit reversed. So my home screen is set up with the apps that I use the most, but I had made my second screen because Matthew had told me about these Siri suggestion apps. Right. So I've got my I think it's a SmartStack at the top. But then, yeah, the next set is just Siri suggestion apps, and it's been great. In fact, what I usually do now is I launch my phone, I open my phone and lock it, and then I swipe over to this second screen, and one of the apps that I want to get to is usually right there.
See,
in
that's
that
why you're going
to
make it your home screen eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I don't need to do the swipe over anymore. Exactly.
Yeah, because it's kind of smart about. I'm really curious. Maybe Matthew can figure this out. What the algorithm is for Siri suggestions, because it does seem to know what I do a lot. You know, you don't have control of it. That's the downside.
Yeah, exactly. Last bit of question comes from Tim. And it says, I had a question about the beta. I recently installed it on my phone and have been enjoying all the new features. I did run into a bug, though, where when I turn off cellular data for an app, I'm unable to turn it back on again. Since I did this for a majority of my apps before I discovered the bug, I was wondering if you happen to know a fix or workaround or could tell me the best way to back out of the beta. That is my tip for you. So let's talk about how you back out of a beta. We'll include a link in the show notes to Apple's support document for backing out of the beta, because it does. In the release notes, I didn't see a workaround for this option. So unfortunately, there are some bugs that you run into, and hopefully you reported it to Apple. But there are times where you just need to roll things back. So the first thing you need to do is remove the public beta option by launching the settings app, going to general, and then scrolling down and tapping profiles. So we'll go into that. And then down at the bottom, you'll see a section called profiles. Let me switch screens here. I would go into profiles, and under iOS 14 beta software profile, I would then go and choose remove profile. It'll say, you know, are you sure you want to do this? Are you positive? Da, 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 da. You confirm, yes, I want to remove this. Once that's removed, then you need to restore your device. So you're going to have to restore it from new. The first thing is to connect your device to your computer and then put it in recovery mode. Now, Apple walks through the steps. I'm not going to go through the steps because it depends on what you have, an iPad, an iPhone, et cetera. And so you put it in recovery mode, and then you choose the restore option on your Mac in order to install a new beta, or rather not install a new beta, but install the actual software update that is iOS 13. Now, there are two options here. You can either do that restoration, or you can wait until there's just an iOS 13 update. It's unlikely that we're going to see a lot more out of iOS 13 before iOS 14 rolls around, unless there are, you know, some bug fixes that need to come. So restoring your device is probably what you're going to want to do. And then once you've restored, you can install from a backup kind of what your configuration was before. So hopefully, Tim, you haven't done a whole lot on your device since installing the beta. So that way, the restore that you do from iCloud of a non-iOS 14 device will be everything that you need on there. Unfortunately, that's just sometimes how it happens, and that's why we always recommend getting a backup of your device before you install a beta.
Yes, and that's why we don't recommend the beta on the watch, because you're stuck.
Because you can't, yeah. Once you do
although
it,
I guess
you've done
they
it.
Do. Do they? No, I guess they don't. They released the beta, but hey, are you wearing a funny hat?
I will put on my hat.
Go get a funny hat, because it's time for app caps. Oh, it's Mario!
Longtime listeners of the show, or watchers of the show, will probably recognize this hat.
Your mother gave it to you.
My mother brought it to me, but it was a hat made by my sister. And I'm wearing this in honor of her because she just gave birth to my niece.
Congratulations.
And we're all very excited. And so I wanted to wear this hat.
Did she name
him
Mario?
No, her name is Samira. Yes, her name is Peach, Princess Peach. So my sister made this hat, so I had to wear it today.
Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah, very excited.
Yeah. Now, it's time for our picks of the week. You start as always.
I will. So the app that I'm talking about is an app called Sticker Cards. Sticker Cards is this brilliant little app. Let's talk about sharing things online. One of the issues with sharing tweets or sharing bits of text is that it oftentimes is like a screenshot of your iPhone. And when you upload it to Twitter or you upload it to Instagram or something like that, the cropping is weird, or not all of the tweet displays, not all of the text displays. Sometimes you don't know who sent the original tweet, et cetera. There are all these little issues. And so this app comes along and says, let's make a way to easily share a tweet or a note in a pleasing format. And so I'm going to give an example. Let's go to Twitter. And you know what? Let's use that message that we got earlier. Please, please, please help communicate to iOS developers that some of us use an iPad dedicated to a keyboard and landscape orientation. Can't use an app that hasn't provided that capability. I'll tap the share button. I'll choose copy link to tweet. And then we will go back to sticker cards. I'll hit plus. I'll choose tweet. And it will pull from my clipboard. And I can show the message here in sticker cards. And so it shows, okay, this is the message. This is the person who sent the tweet. If I tap on the original poster, it will go to their Twitter account. If I tap on content, it will go to the tweet. And then I can make adjustments. I can choose for the background to be a gradient or an image or a color. So I'm going to choose gradient. And for colors, top is a dark green. So we'll make a light green. So we'll make the bottom a darker green. Like so, there's a pleasing gradient. And then we can swipe down to move that out of the way. Then we choose save and create. Then I can choose to send it immediately to Instagram. And they've used a really nice, they're clearly plugged into the Instagram API, because this was something that I hadn't seen before. If I tap Instagram story, it makes the card itself an adjustable item that I can sort of scale up and down, but it keeps that gradient untouched. And so that means that they are sending those two bits of information separately, the gradient that I've chosen and the card itself. So that's pretty neat. But we'll go ahead and choose share, save with background. And then I can choose Twitter, which is where? There's Twitter. And you can see that it makes this beautiful little card here that shows the tweet right in the middle, who it's from, and that it came from Twitter.
Yeah.
So that's how you can share a tweet. And then if I wanted to, I can hit the plus. Well, let's go to, let's see. It's called...
Send me the Instagram one, and I'll tell you why I'm curious. The Instagram API... is weird. If you're looking at an Instagram card unmodified, it will show the image if you're looking on a mobile device. If you're looking on a desktop device, it won't.
Oh, really?
So I'm curious, if I look in messages at your sticker card from Instagram on my Mac, whether I'll see the image or not. Then it says, sounds like sticker card is actually grabbing the information, merging it with your gradient, and then creating a static image, which is then sending on.
Okay, so when I tap create and I choose Instagram story, it launches it into a story to be able to do it. Now, how do I send this to you?
Well, isn't that what you're doing sticker card for, so you can send it to me?
No, I'm doing it so I can post it to Instagram, or I can post it to Twitter, or I can post it.
You're not doing it so you send it in messages, is what you're saying.
Oh, well, I can do that too. But instead of choosing Instagram story, I would choose share, save with background.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I would send that
share
to you.
To me. So. Yeah. And I'm just curious if I will get the Instagram story intact, or if Instagram's API will block the images. You see what I'm saying? So,
yes.
And that will tell you whether it is downloading and extracting it into a sticker card, which then is standalone, or if it's merging it using this API on messages.
Okay, I've sent, and I've sent it to you.
Well, I got a tweet. Is that a, see, that's a tweet. You need to send me an Instagram.
Okay, then, no, I don't think I can even send it as an Instagram.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
so it allows you to capture these, and the idea is for resharing on Instagram or resharing
exactly.
on Twitter. Yeah. Not sending as a message. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so that is sticker cards. So if you're looking for a way, instead of, you know, taking a screenshot of your phone and cropping it and possibly getting
so
all of the
easier.
Information in there,
yeah.
This just does all of that stuff for you. It makes it in a way that's shareable on those different devices without you having to do a bunch of thinking about it. So yeah, that's sticker card. It is available in the App Store for $1.99, made by an independent developer. And I think it's a really clever little app. Also, I love the icon too. The sticker cards icon is, nice. Is really cute.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
Mine is specifically designed for the quarantine, although I think it might have some long-term value anyway. It's called Rando Nautica. And I actually found out about it because I read a article about it in Atlantic Magazine. Rando Nautica predates the iOS app. It's been around for a long time. The idea is, well, they say on the Rando Nautica website, it's a choose-your-own-adventure reality game. The idea is, in fact, let me show you so you can actually see it at work here on my iPhone. It's really something you want to do on your iPhone because portability is key. You'll see why. I'm going to launch Rando Nautica. It will crash. It does crash often. Just a word of warning.
Just be aware.
Just be aware. It's a little bit buggy, but it's free, so, you know, you're getting, you know. So, new to Rando Nautica, watch the video to find out what it's all about. There are 9 tenets of the Rando Nauts. Once you've completed a trip, share the discussion with Rando Nauts on Reddit or Twitter. So there is a subreddit on this. So the first thing you do is you start by sending your location by tapping the little globe here. So sending my location. Okay. Now, as I send the location, I want to project my intention into the randosphere, okay? I'm projecting my intention into the randosphere. Now, it has selected an area near me that I could walk to using, and you could choose what 3 words, Google Maps, Google Street View, or Google Earth. I'll do maps. And it's now going to choose this randomly. And this is over by the, this is actually, I would say, couple hundred yards from us.
Yeah,
it is a random location. But the theory is that if you go here, right here, this one right here, see, there's Twit, there's that. It's pretty much just across the street. If you go right there, you will find something. And that thing is the thing the universe wanted you to find, or your intention created.
Oh.
Attractors are dense clusters of random points. Voids are the opposite. Anomalies are the strongest out of attractors and voids. Premium features available.
So you've got to kind of be a hippie to really
get into this. No. You got to be somebody who wants to go out in the world and see what's out there.
And project your intention.
Wow, this one's actually practically right here. This is so close to where we work. But you can do with these, you get 10 points a day, or you can buy point top offs. I think this is a really fun idea. What if you read this, the Atlantic article, or you read it. Basically, it's like, you know, about orienteering, which is using maps to find your way. And then geocaching. We have a geocache site right out here where people intentionally hide stuff. And then you use a geocache app to find it and then write in the logbook and leave something there if you want or take something. This isn't that. This is completely just nutty random. And people find crazy things, and then they tweet it or put it on Reddit. It's pretty funny.
What is the Reddit? Because, yeah, I'd like to see that. If there's actually stuff that people are finding.
r/randonauts, randonauts. So it could be a beautiful picture. It could be a cat. It could be various odd things.
Oh, a deer.
A deer or fairy magic. But the key is when you're doing this, you have to have an intention that you put into the randomizer.
I see. Yeah. See, that person's intention was shelter, and they ended up finding a cat taking shelter
under a chair. Or this person, Audrey is funky on Reddit. My intention was healing from past relationships. Get this. Took me to the place we first fell in love with this sign across the street from it that said, it was a no parking sign, but it said, no, forgive yourself parking.
Okay, that did give me a little bit of chills, the forgive yourself.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know.
I'm going to try this.
I just think it's kind of cool. I haven't actually emerged from my slumber and gone out and done this, but honestly, if it's just an excuse to go outside and wander around, it always picks places you could walk to and safe to be, although they do say don't go into private property and so forth. It does its best to pick something that you could actually in public go to. I see a lot of parks and paths and things like that. I just think it's kind of a cool idea. All right, I'm doing it again. Let's send my location.
What's your intention?
My intention is to discover the meaning of life. Discover the meaning of life. Discover the meaning of life.
If you find a 42 wherever you end up, discover the meaning of life.
I can type it in here if I want. Discover. Well, now it says divide. Divine. Okay, divine's good. Divine.
Yeah, divine is a good intent.
Meaning of my. How about, we'll narrow it down. My life. Right now.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's spell now right. And then that's done. And now let's press the magic, twang the magic twanger. And I'll go to, let's do a street view this time. Street view. Oh, no, that's the parking lot again. Okay. Tap and swipe.
Getting the same place.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. Maybe it's somewhere else. That's my starting point.
Oh,
I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how this works. Maybe my intention wasn't strong enough. Okay. Divine the meaning of my life right now. Now, how much would you pay? Let's see it on maps. Oh, it's taking me somewhere. No, it's the same damn place. I have to go to this place.
Yeah, you really need to go there.
I got to go to this place. Whatever that is, I got to go there. There's something waiting for me. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of fun. Actually, maybe the subreddit is even more fun. Set my intent to cat. And I found my elementary school with a picture of a cat's paw in front of it. Okay. Set my intent to flowers and garden. I live in a city of house basically built on top of each other. So this was quite a little find for me. He found a little garden. Don't you think that's interesting?
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I am. I'm going to try it and see. I'm going to set my intention to peace, and I'm going to see what
peace.
I find.
See what you find. I bet you'll find it.
And can you tell me what in the world your hat is? Because I've been staring at it, and I don't know what it has set its intention to. But
if it were dark, you'd see that the eyes are blinking, unless the battery died.
Is it a mummy?
I don't know what it is. No, it's not. I don't know what it is. I didn't make it.
Is it a dead?
Maybe it's something from Scooby Doo. I don't know.
Wow.
Somebody says it's Mummy Goofy. Okay, I'll take it.
All right, there you go.
Mummy Goofy. Okay, Mickey.
Set your intention to Mummy Goofy.
I just found it on my wall. I don't know where it came from.
I was not prepared for these questions.
Actually, I wanted to find, and I couldn't, and then I realized it's because I gave it to you, my big damn cowboy hat. You have the biggest cowboy hat in the world, and there's a whole story behind it. Lisa and I, we're going to, yep, there it is. Lisa and I, we're going to go see Charlie Daniel Band. And since Charlie Daniel is a big friend, a good friend of Bob Heil, the host of our Ham Nation, Bob said, I'll get you backstage. You can say hi to Charlie. Always wanted to say hi to Charlie. Charlie Daniels is famous, though, for his oversized cowboy hats. So before I went, I bought this hat, which I thought was the biggest cowboy hat I could find.
It's huge.
It's massive.
I wore it to a store once so that no one would come near me.
Good idea. Yeah, you actually keep 6 feet social distancing with the brim alone.
With the hat.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Charlie's hat was bigger. And of course, the great Charlie Daniels passed away this past week. So I thought I will wear my Charlie Daniels memorial hat.
But then you had given it to me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're wearing it now, and that's all that matters. I just wanted to tell that little story.
I love that story.
About the great Charlie Daniels. If you look at pictures of him, he's always wearing a ginormous cowboy hat. And I just wanted to, you know, honor him. He passed away on July 6th. Actually, quite a few people passed away this past week. This was difficult week. My friend Regis Philbin passed away. I had the great honor of teaching him how to use Twitter in 2011. it was wild. I also Peter Green, the founder of Fleetwood Mac, passed away. His original Fleetwood Mac songs are fantastic. Highly recommend them if you get a chance to listen to Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. Before Rumors, there was Peter Green. But fortunately, you and I still here.
We are.
Still here with our silly hats. We do iOS Today on Tuesdays. Supposed to be 9 a.m. Pacific if Leo gets up in time. I was a little late today. 9 a.m. Pacific's 12 noon Eastern time. And according to my UTC widget on my iPhone, that's about, middle of the night sometimes. It's 10:10 in the evening. No, if you add 7, it's 1600 UTC. The streams, live audio and video, are available at twit.tv/live. We also have on-demand versions of the show at twit.tv/iOS. They're also on YouTube. You can ask your Amazon Echo or your HomePod to play iOS Today, and it'll play it for you. But the best thing to do is get Pocket Casts or, you know, Outcast or Stitcher or Slacker or Spotify or Google or Apple Podcasts and subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Fill up your iPhone with iOS Today. You know, little known fact, iOS Today occupies zero space on your iPhone. It's all free. Just download them all, keep them all on there. And you'll never run out of room again. Thank you.
It actually takes up negative space.
Negative space.
More space on
your iPhone. It gives you space. We should have mentioned that right up the front. You'll find Micah Sargent on Thursdays on Tech News Weekly. You'll find him and Matthew Castanelli for Smart Tech Today on, what is that, Wednesday?
Mondays.
I knew it was one day of the week. On Yesterdays. And you'll find him here every Tuesday. Thank you, Micah.
Thank you, Leo.
Wear those hats in public. I dare you.
Like I said, this one I have, and it was quite nice. Although I made the mistake of wearing it as I got out of the car, and that was difficult.
It's a little big. So barely fits through the door.
Get out.
There nice. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
One more twit? Well, check out Hands on iOS, twit.tv/HOI, where I teach you all about iPhones, iPads, AirPods, Apple Watches, and so much more. If you want to get the most out of your device, then you got to check out Hands on iOS, twit.tv/HOI.